As we look in the Word of God, we find that it deals with families. And if one never sees that God deals with families, they're going to miss the picture that God is using to help understand what life is about. And if you miss God's parameters or paradigm of what the family is, you begin to think that it's totally individual all the way. There is a dynamic that's individual, but the first institution that God set was the family. When God made a man, he said it was not good for him to be alone. Genesis 2 and 18. He said, I will make and help suitable for him, and gave him a woman. Some of the Jewish rabbis would say he didn't take her from the foot. He didn't take a bone from the foot to walk on, didn't take one from the head to rule, didn't take one from any other place but the rear, but to be a support right there on the side of the vital organs. I can't disagree with that. I found no problem with it. But we find in that God gave the one that was the leader, and a lot of people they have a problem with that man being the leader. But then when you start looking, when it comes time for an accounting for how rulership was done, you're glad not to be the one in charge. You're glad on a job when the person in charge messed up and the only person gets fired is that person. You're glad I only did what I was told. When God gives privilege, there's a great responsibility. But when God brought the two together, actually brought her to him, that's a whole nother teaching of how she had been with God before she ever met man. He told them, and you don't find this in Genesis 2 like this. You find this in the summary in chapter 1, where he told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The first institution that God gave for mankind was family. And we see that family has been attacked from the very outset by the malevolent one, Satan. Jesus says in John 8 and 44, he was a murderer in the beginning. He abode not in truth. Tim, where are you going with this? You got on the board the Exodus series, the family. You got on the board, it takes the Spirit of God to make a family. You're talking about other stuff. But remember, when we come back after it's been a few days, it's like a leftover. Some leftovers are good cold. Some need to be warmed up. So just warming it up a little bit. As we deal with the family from the time of Noah, through Shem, through Abraham, we've gotten to the Exodus part of the Bible, and we're talking about those children of Israel. But when you jump to the New Testament, in Romans chapter 11, God uses a picture. What's the picture, Tim? Well, imagine, if you will, a big tree. You like the way I said big, Josiah? A big tree. When you see a tree, often you think of just a tree. But do you know a tree is made up of many components when you think about it? There's roots. There are little things that come off the roots. I don't know what the name of those are. You have the stalk or the stem, the trunk of the tree. You have branches that stick out. You have leaves. You have bark. Some of the wood-boring animals that destroy wood, they eat right to that thin layer right up under the bark. All of those components together make up a tree. A tree is not just one thing, but it is one thing, but it's made up of varying parts. Romans 11 says that God has an olive tree. Now, if you walk with me, we won't have to read it. God has an olive tree. When God talks of the olive tree, he's talking about a family. You have to read Romans 11 and you'll see it. That family, he starts with Abraham and the children of Israel. God made known his will. God made known his statutes and his judgments through that family. You hear people talk about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments weren't given to the Canaanites. They weren't given to the Hittites. They weren't given in China. They weren't given in Belgium. They weren't given in France. They were given right there at the foot of Horeb, right there, Sinai or Sinai. But they were eventually to be for the whole world. Why? Because the knowledge of God had already been given and people had distorted it. They had lost the true vision of what God's word was, the true hearing what God's word, and he was a reiterating of what it was through these people. So the olive tree being the family of Israel, God through Paul made them to understand there's only one tree, there's only one family, and any other nation that's going to participate in what I'm going to do for the world in bringing justice, in bringing righteousness, in bringing eternal life is going to be done through that tree. However, if you are not an Israelite, you could be grafted into that tree. A graft, a picture of cutting off a limb or cutting a place into a tree and placing another limb in it. And it would all be one tree, not the tree Israel, not the tree of the Gentiles or the Goyim. One tree. And that one tree would produce the right kind of fruit. What am I saying? I'm saying that family is so important to God that even he wants to make it so plain that he uses other illustrations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, didn't you teach on that the other day? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are given so that the individual body, family, which is called the body of Christ, the family of God could operate and have what's necessary so that it could accomplish the goal of God. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I want to read a couple of parts in it so that we can see something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and somebody get to me to before I do. Verse 11 is very important for us to see because we're doing Exodus 31 today. But in order for me to make it completely plain what I'm going to teach, I want us to see that the part that people say, the Old Testament has nothing in it for us. I'm going to show that what we call the New Testament is a recapitulation of what has been said before. Dree, have you found it yet? Mm-hmm. Read it, please.
All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will.
Now, if you want to understand what it's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it goes through a list of different gifts that are given. Gifts of healings, gifts of help, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It all comes through the same Spirit. Every gift, if God does bless somebody with the ability to heal, rest assured, it's not because that person woke up this morning and ate some Wheaties that God allowed him to heal somebody. And rest fully assured, it is not that that individual has that gift that he can go around and heal everybody he wants to. There are certain times that God will allow certain things to happen through somebody. It doesn't mean that it's totally him. It's always of God, even if he could do it every time. There are gifts of helps. Why did you mention helps? I mentioned that God gave Adam, Eve, as an assistant, as a help, suitable for him. When we have a king in the Bible, who is the help suitable for him? Can anybody think? It's not his wife.
It's the priest.
The priest actually runs coexistent with him. When you want to talk about a help suitable, it would be the armor bearer. The armor bearer was the help suitable for him. The priest helped keep the king in check if he'd listen. Most of the time, once a king got a certain amount of power, they wouldn't listen. In this case, I want you to just hold it in your mind, assistant. Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And the reason that I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm expediting time, but I want to make a picture. There is much that I could have read in 1 Corinthians 12. It goes through a list of gifts, diversities of gifts, diversities of operation, prophecies, all of these come from the same Spirit. I'm showing that there's a reason that God has given these and he's doing it individually as he wills. And I'm showing that God is the one that's doing this because of the fact he's going to make the family ready. If the family is not ready, it can't love him like it should. If a man's not ready, he can't love a wife as he should. If all he wants is conjugal relations, that does not make him love you. Believe that. But if he loves you, then somewhere along the line he was ready. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Read the first verse for me, Dre.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called.
All I'm trying to get us to see in this particular instance right here is that if Paul is telling you to walk worthy of the Lord, there is something that a person or the group of people in the church of Ephesus, they need to be ready to do that. And Paul is saying, I want you to walk worthy of the Lord. I want you to walk worthy of the vocation that you are called. How? To.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
Read the next verse.
Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. On the tree there's bark. There are leaves. There's what we call the trunk. There are roots. There are different parts, twigs. Sometimes they're little sprouts. But there's the unity of the tree. The unity of the tree, and it used the olive tree. It's very important that we understand that the olive tree produced the fruit, and the fruit of the olive tree could be eaten as well as it made oil, and the oil of the olive tree has been known throughout the ages to be the symbol of the Spirit of the living God. When the olive is pressed, the oil comes out. When the children of God in the family of God, when we are squeezed, in working together, in friction together. Some of us have more things that have to be worked on than others. We should be able to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Although there may be areas in my life that I don't understand and I need to correct. If I'm walking in the Spirit of God, when you correct me and it hurts, the Bible says no correction is joyous but grievous. It should still come out some of that olive oil. Why should evil come out because you correct me? I'm the one that did wrong. I'm the one that's supposed to be trying to grow up. Read the fourth verse and we're going to skip some.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call.
Bible terminology, when it uses the term body, until a person reads all of the scripture, you may think that it's just talking about one body like this. But it's actually talking about a body of believers of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I cannot remember where that scripture is, but if you can find that scripture, I want that to be proven that there is one family. There's a family in heaven, those that have already died before us that follow God, and those of us that are here is one family. And when he says there's one body and one spirit, there's one spirit that makes us ready. There's one family that we're supposed to be in. I'm talking about the family of God, and our own individual family should reflect what the family of God is doing corporately. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I want you to go to verse 11 so that we can get to where we are in Exodus. As a matter of fact, Dree, I think I'd rather you just go ahead and do 11 and 12. I think that'd give me what I need.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
What the word of God is saying, that he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, and he gave some evangelists, etc. It's for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the family or the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith, until the knowledge of the Son of God, and it says until a perfect man, a mature man. If we're the body of Christ, if we're the family of God, we represent one body. A jury is one body, is 12 people. To the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, till we mature. Mature in every aspect of life so that we can do and we can be what God would have us to be, because there's a work that's necessary to be done in the world. And if we don't do it, who will? Who will do it? If we don't follow God, who will? In other words, if children don't obey their parents, who will respect them? Why would I respect somebody else's parents and I can't respect my own? Why should I respect your parents if you don't even respect your own parents, if you don't think that much about them? So let's look at what we have on the board here. If you look behind me, you'll see it takes the Spirit of God to make the family ready. I'm ready to go to Eve. Did you find that scripture for me about the whole family in heaven and earth? Where? Ephesians 3 and 15. Read it, precious. You're not there anymore? That's okay. I can roll back one page. No problem. Ephesians 3 and 15. I want to make it plain because sometimes when I do interchangeable with the family, sometimes people think he's just making it say what he wants to. Paul was praying, and he was praying that God would grant love to everybody, that they would be able to love and understand God's love, the height, the depth, the length, the width, and understand it. And Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I submit to you, it takes the Spirit of God to make the family worthy to walk worthy of the Lord, to make the family ready to treat each other properly, to mature and not just be something that a man and a woman got together and they conjugated, not making a verb, but conjugal relations, and made babies. And that the babies are scattered around, raising sin, tearing down mailboxes and doing all kind of evil, gang raping and stuff like that. The stuff we see in our world that people don't like to talk about, but if you turn on the TV, you see it. The family that's ready is going to produce the love of God. They're going to experience what it is to love. If we don't love God, I submit to you, we can borrow the capital. When I say borrow the capital, I mean the fact I don't understand the mechanisms of how my car works. I understand they have pistons. I understand they have compression. But if you were to take a car apart and tell me to put it together, I can't. But I drive. I use borrowed capital. I use somebody else's knowledge to be able to drive a vehicle. I use borrowed capital just to live. Yeah, I may know I have an aorta and a ventricle and I have pulmonary stuff, but rest assured, if something went wrong with it, I can't fix it. We can love our family, but is it because we borrow the capital that God has given? Is it because we think some way we just learned love and it was passed down, but where did it go to? It is not an infinite regress. What I mean by infinite regress is it can't keep going back and going back and going back indefinitely. Somewhere it stops. But I won't deal with that today. We need the Spirit of God for us to learn how to live. How to live. Somebody say, I'm living without God telling me how to live. Well, that's if you define living as existing. But if you see a difference between living and existing, then you got an issue to deal with. It takes the Spirit of God to make us loyal. Loyal to him will give loyalty to each other. Loyal to him will show us when we need to dismiss loyalty to family members. What do you mean? If my son started abusing my wife, I can't be loyal to him. He's wrong. He needs to make some changes. But when it comes to God, most of us aren't loyal to God. When it comes to how people treat God, we almost many times, well, you know, I ain't got nothing to say. When a family is equipped by the Spirit of God, you learn what loyalty is. And the family that's equipped by God is in the position to lead. Do you understand that the world looks toward families? That's why the Mormons use that they're family. They say family oriented. That's the picture that they portray. I notice that I say the picture that they portray. When a family is walking right with God, they know how to love. They know what life is about. They know how to be loyal to God and each other. They in the position to lead. Communities are made of families. Every family, every person in the family should not be leading you. I don't care who you are. There's a man that will probably run for president next time, and he left his wife when she was about to die. I don't look at you as being a great man. I don't look at you in that way. I can't follow the Buddha. If no other reason, you ran out on your family saying you looking for light. How you going to lead me? You can't do right by those that are dependent on you, that love you, or that's under your jurisdiction as a head of a home. Lastly, the family, as led by the Spirit of God, should be a light to their community. Not just lead, but there are some people that could look at your life and they should receive instruction. There should be some people that should receive instruction by watching how you live, how you deal with issues. Light and lead can run together, but sometimes some people won't ask you. They'll watch. Some people are too proud to ask. Especially if they're messing up their life. But they'll watch. They'll watch. And Jesus said we are supposed to be the light of the world. All of this is New Testament given. Now let's see how the word of God in Exodus 31 will take us from them designing the things in the tabernacle to show you that this is not just building furniture. Let's look at the word of God and let's see what God was really trying to show us so that we can understand the scripture. Exodus 31st chapter, first verse. Let's go into our beautiful text.
The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship."
Now, in teaching this passage, I could have taught this verse, and then went to 1 Corinthians, and then went to Ephesians. But watch how easy it is for me to make my references now. And the Lord spake. God can talk. He's not just a quote-unquote higher power. How dare me call myself going to serve a higher power that cannot think, that cannot reason, that does not have self-awareness and identity, and I'm going to follow a higher power? Then who's to say what the higher power wants? The God that has revealed himself in the scripture can talk. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, you see, I have called by name." I called. I chose. I selected. It's very important for us to see that God did some choosing. Remember when we were in 1 Corinthians 12 when I showed you that the Holy Spirit selects severally or individually as he will? This has been God's pattern for the longest. Adam didn't choose himself. The ground was already made. Day six, God took the ground and formed. Abraham didn't choose himself. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, he was serving gods on the other side of the flood, idol gods. He was chosen. And rest fully assured, Jacob was chosen. Rebecca asked the question, Jacob was chosen. I submit to you, Bezalel is chosen. We're looking at God's pattern. Now, as he's being chosen, let's keep in the back of my mind, he's chosen. Does that make him special? He's chosen. Does that mean he can do anything he wants to? This is how you read the Bible. God said, "I have chosen Bezalel." Go ahead and read, please.
"Son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah."
I want you to feel this. Bezalel is chosen. I know who he is. He's the son of Uri of the tribe of Judah. And I'm choosing him to be in charge of building my house. Guess what, Rudy? The kings are going to come from the tribe of what? Judah. It's not something that I just came up as an afterthought. It's just the fact I'm letting you know as it goes on. There are certain things that people learn as they grow old. We learn little bits as we go. As a kid, I saw my mom make biscuits. Then I saw them make them out of a can and they pop them. But just because I could see her going, that doesn't mean I knew everything about making the biscuit. Because I tried one time. I just go skip a step and just use the flour and the water. Doesn't work. I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him. Notice, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I have done this. I selected him. He's of the tribe of Judah, and I've done this. I want us to understand this. In order for us to do and be ready to do the things of God, God has to do the choosing. God has to do the filling. Read some more, Dre, please.
"With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship.
God gave him this spirit to accomplish something. I've given him wisdom. I can do that. Solomon's not the only one God gave wisdom to. I've given him understanding, and I've given him knowledge for what? All kind of workmanship. When you see people talking about they filled in the spirit and they rolling on the floor, or they babbling, and they say, I got the spirit of God, and this is all that is for the la, 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 la. And you don't find that there's something that God has for you to accomplish to do his work, that's not his pattern. That's like giving a man a hunting gun and a hunting jacket and a hunting vest and giving him ammunition just to sit there on the counter. That's like people that, there's sometimes a man will die and his wife can't drive. And there'll be this beautiful car out there. That's the time when you need to try to buy one, okay? Because it means, it does nothing for her except sentimental value. God gave him this to use, and I submit to you, if he hadn't used it, he'd have been out of order. But notice, he didn't choose everybody to have this. Read some more, Dree.
To devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze.
I've told you all before that the articles that are being made inside of the tabernacle, they could be atoned for. And I've told you that based on the fact that they could be atoned for and they are what we call inanimate objects, they must be, as far as I can see, representation of what people, functions people will have to do in the body or the house of God. The tabernacle was a place where people would come in into the presence of God. When we worship God as a group of people, there should be different people with different functions that can aid in the worship of God. Now, notice the different things that will be used here. Gold, silver, and brass. Each of these items will be used to do something. The gold will not determine where it will not where it be used. Neither will the silver, neither will the brass. But they all will have to be heated up in order to do God's work. Do you really want to do God's work? Here's a picture of an inanimate object that's going to be used by the one that's instructed in God's word and in his wisdom. If you a gold buddy and God's going to use you, he's going to have someone with instruction through his word to help you be what you need to be. And I'm telling you, when the heat comes, can you stand and be melted and beaten down in the shape that you wanted to be? What do you mean, beaten down in the shape? There was one article that would be in there. It's called a lampstand. It was to be made of one talent, if I'm not mistaken, of gold. But it's just one piece of gold, and it's going to be beaten in the shape. It's not going to be made with wood and overlaid. It's going to be beaten. Picture in your mind, if the gold could speak, what it must feel like to be beaten into shape where God can use you properly. See, in order for God to use you properly, it's got to be God's design. God's design. Suppose they say, don't beat me no more. I'm good enough right here. Just put a little dip in it and burn some oil. God has a specific design. I almost said pacific. A specific design. Do you know that that lampstand represented, looked just like a tree? It had a big stem coming up. I mean, a trunk. And it had branches. It had little cups on it. Didn't it have it? Just like a tree of light. And guess what we're called in Romans 11? The olive tree. The purpose is God's design. It is not of man. It is spirit driven. But God has man to participate in the making of it. Rest fully assured, God will also have man in being what is necessary to be produced. In other words, God's going to use man to give you the instruction. Somebody said, well, Tim, you talking about yourself. I didn't write these scriptures. God's instruction is still here whether I teach it or not. And it's still to make you ready for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Read some more, Dree. Go back to three again so we can feel it again.
I have filled him with the Spirit of God.
It's all done by the Spirit of God. Go ahead.
With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship.
Two.
To devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze.
I want you to feel number five. Read from fifth verse.
In cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft.
You see, the stones, as they are by themselves, are not ready. All of those jewels we went through, they're not ready by themselves. Although they may be luxurious gems, they're not ready. The trees, the timber, it's not ready yet. Something has to be done in order to make that which is a member fit into the tabernacle and work properly. What has to take place to make this productive for me? The stones have to be cut. No doubt they're cut in specific ways. Some of us have to be cut. There are some things in some of us that need to be cut so we can fit and be like God wants us to be. And the trees have to be cut. I don't believe this is accidental. You think when you come to Jesus, you come to him as you are? No, no, no. Not if you mean you come as you are and you stay as you are. You come submitted. Where do you want me to fit in? Where do you want me to fit in? How do you want me to fit in? This is what's happening with the brass. This is what's happening with the gold. This is what's happening with the silver. And then the stones cutting to set them. To set. In other words, don't just cut them. They have a certain place they have to be. If you put the diamond or if you put the jasper where the ruby is supposed to be, it's in the wrong place. Cut it to set it. That means you're going to have to make a setting for it. Then carve the wood. Because, you know, we read about the altar, how you had to make the horns and all of this. We read that before. It had to be cut to do this. I want us to understand that when we get into what we're talking about, the family, every family should have a role. I talk a lot about the family of God, but let's look at our own family. Somebody needs to learn how to be a real father and make the tough decisions. And when you make the tough decision, it has to be for the benefit of the whole. Well, how do I know as a father? Let me look at D.R. for a little while. How do I know as a father how to make the right decisions for the family? First, you're going to understand I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. Therefore, I'm not going to be abusive to the children because they're littler than me or smaller than me and I can stop them. I'm not going to be abusive to the wife because maybe I can handle her. Maybe. But everything that I do is about bringing this family to the place where we can love each other. And love means that we are responsible for each other so that we can live together in harmony. And in living together in harmony, we got to have a goal as a family. We can't just live. What's that? Is there no purpose for us being here? We need to learn how to be loyal to one another because we are a family. We are family. We don't go out there and take care of Ms. Johnson's family, and we don't take care of our family in the home. We take care of each other, and that which we have in the home, it goes out and does for others. We learn to lead because as a father, I model that to my children. My wife can look up to me. I don't go cheat on her. I don't slap her around. I don't treat her as if she's insignificant when God gave a man or wife to be a suitable help. As a suitable help, we're like Sarah. That's the model. That's the model that Peter uses. Sarah told Abraham, get rid of Ishmael. He didn't want to do it. God said, do what she said. Why? Because Sarah is doing what I need done as the person in the family to keep my honor of this family. I'm submitting to you that as families, most of the time we start a family don't have a goal in mind for God. All we're going to do is, I want children. They're going to look like me. They're going to be my children. What we're looking at is when the right family gets their act together, they lead, they can be a light to the world. But properly, everything is done because God gives you the spirit so that they can be proper in its proper place. It can be productive. That's very important for that to happen. God does this. And when we do it God's way, guess what? It becomes profitable. They become profitable to other people. So, I need you to go to verse 6. That's a sorry transition, but I just need you to go to verse 6.
And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you.
I want us to understand that the proper or the help that was suitable for Bezaleel was who?
Aholiab.
He is the help that's suitable for him. Did Aholiab choose that job for himself? He is the one. I've named him. He has an assistant. Suitable. But notice, it's not just him. Read the verse again. I want us to catch the whole thing.
And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you.
See, when people have a problem with God, when they say nobody's perfect, first of all, you're using most of the time a Webster's or an American definition of the word perfect. When the New Testament tells you to be perfect, that's a Greek word. It's what is called a Franco-lingua. It's called Koine Greek, and that word was telos. That word means to be complete. We're talking about maturity. When God tells us to be mature, he's given everything to do that. Look at this. Everything that God has right here that I need, that I've given the ability to Bezaleel, I've given him an assistant, Aholiab, and then on top of that, I've given other participants. It's not the Aholiab show. It's not the Bezaleel show. It's my show. If he walks around with his chest out like a rooster walking around in the hen form, and if he's top dog, it's not that you top dog on your own. God said, I gave it. That's why when I was taking construction in school, I said, God, you gave Bezaleel the ability to do stuff. You can give me the ability to do stuff. Now, he didn't give me all his skills, but he gave me some. I asked. Because I saw that he can do that. Don't you all see that you have some ability that you didn't coin or that you didn't make on your own? Don't you have something that's inside you like, I really don't know how I'm good at this, but I am. I catch this easily. Other people struggle. But most of the time, I heard a guy tell me this week, he says, I guess it's just in my DNA. You know, that's hard for me because, you know, this guy's the guy that believes in evolution. And, you know, and DNA got double helix and the chromosome. But anyway, I said, you just, and I won't even go through the whole conversation. I'm telling you, God still gifts men. But when you come to his family, he gives extra. Where do you get that from, Tim? Those men, if you read that last part where he said what he gave to all that are wise of heart, he had put the spirit of wisdom. Do you remember they were slaves in Egypt? Mm-hmm. Who do you think were building their cities? Who do you think had to get the brick and build things? Who do you think they were probably making the perfume for them? The slaves. Mm-hmm. But just because you have some skills, when you come to me to do things my way, I got to give you some. That's like when you go to a new job. You may be good at this. And they may do something what you call backwards. But I promise you, if they want it done this way, and you do it the best way, but the reason they're not doing it the best way is because of regulation of the government, you'll be fired. Do you understand that there's some regulations that we deal with in this world that's not the best? Ask some of the old timers about the freon that they used to put in the car versus the freon they have now, whatever they call now. I mean, that may be a debatable point, but we can find some issues like putting the ethanol inside of the gas. It doesn't make your car run better, okay? There are things on jobs sometimes you do because the boss just wants it that way. He doesn't want to use cordless phones on his job. So now every time the phone rings, you got to run back to the phone. Now I worked at a place where we had headsets. So they could make you work in the warehouse as well as at the phone. Smart move. He gave more people wisdom. I want us to see this. In a family, if the father and the mother have trained the children according to God's will, it is very foolish of them to think that those children will never be able to say anything that can help the family. You see, you can take stuff from the family whenever you get old, if you're broke and you need money. You can take things from somebody if they're sick and they can help you get up. Or they can bring you some salve for your leg. Or they can do whatever it is. I say, but when it comes down to giving you God's word, do you think that these young men right here have never said anything to me that I needed to hear? If you train them right, They can look behind your back. I think that's the 127th Psalm says your children will be like arrows in your quiver. They can help you out. When it comes to the things of God, it is not a one-man show. Just because one person is teaching, that doesn't mean that you don't have something to do. He gave him other men with the spirit of wisdom that they could help. When you talk about in Corinthians, the gift of help, it's not just to cook, it's not just to clean, it's to do what's necessary so that God's purposes can be done in the family. And God's purposes in the family is to be fruitful and to multiply and to spread righteousness. And I'm not talking about making babies this way, but bringing other people and make disciples so that they would submit to God so his kingdom can flourish. Read some more of the sweeted word of God, please.
The tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is on it.
So let's pull these two back together. Bezaleel, Aholiab, and all of those men were given the spirit of God so that they could form the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. The Ark of the Covenant, where the covenant that God would have in there would be made, it could be placed in there. The mercy seat, or the what they call the seat that would purge things. And all of the furniture that's in there is to be formed and made by these men. They are doing the work of the Lord. They are doing the work of the Lord. Some people say there's no work for you to do when you come to Christ. That's a damnable lie. God does not do it all. Do you see him doing it all here? No. I give instructions. I give the ability. And then I give my rules for what you to do. Look at his pattern. We've read in the other chapters before, this is what I want. They can say, we can't do that. You demanded something that's impossible. Hold up. Let me finish telling Moses what to tell you. I'm going to give you the ability to accomplish that which I want accomplished. And when God gives the ability to accomplish that which is to be accomplished, it is absolutely sinful not to do it. Was I clear there? It's a collaborative effort. They didn't come up on their own to build the tabernacle. They didn't come up on their own to build the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't come up on their own to build anything. It was God's design. It was God's will. So whenever God tells me to love my enemy and I say that I can't, that's not his pattern to tell me something that he hadn't equipped me to do. Let's stop impugning God. Read number 9, please. Well, read number 8. I skipped 8.
The table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils.
9.
And the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils.
Okay, now we could go through each one of them, and I'm going to just encapsulate them. Everything is going to represent what a person or what we as a people are supposed to do that's inside of that tabernacle. Everything that's in that tabernacle that represents an aspect of Christ, his ability to cleanse, his ability to lighten, his ability to feed us with the word, his ability to forgive sin and to deal with judgment. That's on one level. Most people think about that when they think about the tabernacle, but they don't think about we as representations of him. There's a part of us to do in the cleansing. We need to cleanse ourselves and help cleanse others. We need to be able to pray for others like the altar of incense. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Jesus said that himself. Those things that they made that were shaped and that were formed by someone that had God's knowledge in his spirit represent us being shaped, being formed exactly like God wants us to be. It's not how you think, it's what God says. So if the labor was missing something, he could look at God's word, his pattern. Oh, it's supposed to have this. Or if one of the horns was missing, I don't know what they would have done. I don't know if they would have rebuilt it, probably. But you see, you have someone there to correct that which is an error. Well, when it comes down to natural families, Lord have mercy. In our homes, some children get to a certain age while they're still totally dependent. Eating your bread, turning on your water to wash their body, sleeping on the bed that you bought with the price of the mattresses as they are today. Calling something their room, and they haven't even paid a piece of the taxes, let alone the mortgage. And they will defy you in your own home. Haven't I done it, Pop? Lord have mercy. You know, when you get old enough to really see yourself and your folly as it really is, it's just amazing. We do when the parents have done like God say, and the children display that, there's a time that you have to be loyal to God. You don't have to hate the children. But if they're going to keep you from serving God and keep your siblings, keep the siblings from serving God, then that person has to be placed aside. You can go stay over here. You can still, we still can deal with each other, but you can't be here. But the optimum that God wants is the whole unit to work together. The son knows his place. The oldest son should be learning right now. If something happens to me, you are to take responsibility of this home. That's biblical. I don't care what you say. And the father's job is to leave something there for the son to help take care of the home. The daughter's job is to learn what it is to be a mother, to be in help, to work with the family. But we don't do that. We are rugged individual and it's rugged wickedness. That's how totalitarian states are able to take over people. Got all these individuals. When something happened, we can go to government. We surely can't go to our family. Can't go to my brother because I stole from him. And he's already cut me off. But if you're living like God, say you won't steal from him. You won't mistreat him. I admire other people from foreign countries when they first come here, the first generation, how they stick together because we don't have anybody and how they care for each other. I used to hear people make fun of the Mexicans talking about 10 or 12 of them sleep together in one house or whatever. But I used to watch them. I had a lot of intimacy with the Vietnamese in the 70s when I worked at a poultry plant, and they all would stay in one house. And God knows many of them owned houses before I did. They would work. They would pay that. They would pull their money together. And I would see them back then. Trans Am was, it was a Corvette Trans Am. They kind of, the guys that like sport cars, they were running neck and neck. And I would see them driving better cars than me. And after a while, they were owning homes. But they worked together as family. Give them two or three generations and they've, you know, they've changed. But this is what God always wanted, family. If your family is right, when you come together as a unit to serve God, your church would stand. I will tell you now, if we don't get the family model right in our own individual's home, we won't stand to seeking truth. We'll just be coming together like other people. It'll be a ritual. Hear something out of God's word and go back home and it doesn't matter. If God can't rule our home, how can he rule when we come together as an assembly? Because God's business is personal. It gets in your business. Take me to verse 10. I want us to go to the holiness part.
And the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded.
According to all I have commanded. I'm not a God of suggestions. I'm God. Now, when I say that, I'm speaking for God. I'm not God. There are some men that will say that. Understand this. When I said the holy part, all of it was holy and sacred. I had to make that correction myself. But the holy garments, these are not garments for everybody to wear. When you put on these garments, you're in the position of being holy. If you put on these type of garments and you defile them, you could be put to death. Because understand, God was building this tabernacle in the midst because he wanted to dwell with them. He was trying to show them what was proper because it was his design. He was showing them how to be productive by doing it my way because I won't come and dwell with you if you do it any other way. And it was to be profitable. Why do you say it's profitable, Tim? Because the other nation will be dependent on you to learn about me. Israel failed. How many people in your neighborhood that really know you could look at you and see God's goodness, could ask of you and learn God's standards? Most of the time they say, well, he's a good person. I mean, we don't really talk that much, but so-and-so, we have a job to do. And people like you to keep your religion to yourself. Well, when they tell you to keep your religion to yourself, then you can either obey them or obey God. God said you are to make disciples. They don't keep their religion to themselves when they tell you that you keep your religion to themselves because they're imposing their value system on you. They impose their value system on you when they tell you to be neutral. And to listen to them. Everybody fights for the mind of men. Now, you don't have to go and beat somebody over the head, But people engage in conversations. You can let people know where you stand and why you stand where you stand. I don't have a problem with street preachers. I just don't do it. I'm not going to get on that, man, because I realize God gives each individual a particular thing that he does. And I'm not comfortable. But will I do it if somebody, oh, yes. But I just don't, I just don't see myself out there yelling. When I used to do it years ago, you all didn't know this. I used to go, and it probably still work now, to go sit on the bench in Atlanta on the park with my Bible. I just knew somebody would come and bother me. If I'm not bothered, and they come bother me. Now I'm in a position of seated, I'm comfortable, and they're standing. And then they would come around and they would have a whole lot to say. That's how I did it. But for the man that can stand up and yell across, and I'm not going to condemn him for that. He may be fruitful to somebody. I don't know. It's not me. I don't feel comfortable. But rest assured, I do feel comfortable doing something in the kingdom. So they made the holy garments for Aaron and his sons to minister in the priest's office. Remember, the holy garments for Aaron to minister. We are supposed to be the priest of Christ. We're supposed to have a holy garment of God's righteousness on us. And then the next verse, talk about the anointing oil. Read.
And the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do.
I submit to you that everything in this thing was set up by God. The chosen person was by God. Aholiab. The chosen plan was by God. God chose who he wanted to. God chose who he wanted. I didn't know this thing was on, but I don't want this. Well, good, it cut off. It needs to. I don't like to leave my phone on. It's irritating when my phone go off. When somebody else do it, it's more forgivable. You know, like when you're a parent and you get caught doing wrong in front of your child and how bad it is because you're supposed to set the example. So you all see me eating this crow? I just ate it. I'll try to do better next time. Now, when we look and we see that God chose the person, he chose who he wanted to. No pastor, no bishop, as they call themselves, can anoint you and make you something in God's kingdom. He might can make you something in the assembly. No parent can make their child have a special gift. You can send that child to ballet 1,000 years. You can send that child to piano practice 100 years. I've met people that told me they took piano lessons and they learned how to play, but it didn't make them a pianist. It's like, I hated it. But there are some people you don't want to learn how to play, and they can do it. They just keep strumming a guitar. How'd you learn how to do that? I don't know. God's got a chosen plan. He directs his word in what is to be done. And I submit to you that family participants should develop an intense desire to read and learn God's word so that they can see what their part is. There's a little part of Bezaliel that should be in all of us. What do you mean, Tim? There's a little part of us that we got to realize that God has a job for us to do to help somebody else. God's not just interested in you saving yourself. And when I say saving yourself, don't think I'm being heretical and thinking that it's not God that does it. I believe it's God that does it, but I believe that if you don't ever repent, if you don't ever come to God, if you don't ever walk in his word, you will not be saved. It's a collaborative effort. And I don't believe that God saves us so that we can sit here and that's it. He's never had that pattern. Family participants should develop an intense desire to remove their conflicting agendas. God had an agenda. Suppose they say, you know, we don't really need this labor. We don't need this labor in here. We can just put us a boiler here, water, whatever. We don't have to build all this fancy stuff. And why do we have to have this altar of incense if it represents prayer? Can't we just pray? We can get on with the tabernacle. Well, sometimes people feel like, why do I need to read my Bible? Why do I have to forgive him? He didn't ask for it. I can forgive you without you asking for it, but I submit to you that if you don't ask for it, your forgiveness is not totally taking place. When I say I forgive you insofar as my animosity towards you, but I'll watch you. I won't do business with you anymore. But when we talk about true forgiveness and restoration, you need to ask for it. That's God's pattern.
He don't just forgive. You know, somebody shoots somebody and say, we need to forgive them. Hey, he didn't ask for forgiveness. That's not God's pattern of willy-nilly forgive somebody. If I go back there and I slap David, he don't shoot me or cut me. And he said, well, I forgave him. That doesn't mean I'm restored. I need to see the egregiousness of what I did and ask for it. Now I put the ball in his court. Other than that, only thing that Dave can do is, okay, I can forgive the act that he did, but we have not been restored. Can you see the difference? There's no restoration. I haven't asked to be restored. He can forgive so that he doesn't do such and such, but rest assured, I still got to deal with God. That's the pattern that God has shown. Restoration with the individual to get it right with God, and I can never get it right with God as long as I'm going to ignore this man that I've mistreated. And so the Bible says, you're going to do this. You're going to use the anointing oil and the incense, and everybody got a part to play in this, and they submit to the will of God. Read the next verse, and we're going to finish this.
And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.
I think that people will look at that and they say, this doesn't fit. But see, with everything that I've told you to do and the participation that you have in it, I still need you to know that there's a rest. I still need you to know that you don't get so busy doing what I say that you abrogate or you dismiss what I say. This Sabbath, all of this that you're making is actually to bring you into my Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Let me use a different word. I'm going to bring you into a rest where you will be with me, that you don't have to work to try to bring me into your presence. I'm telling you what you can do to get me into your family. I'm telling you what you can do to get my instruction. I'm telling you what to do. I'm equipping you with somebody that's chosen. I'm giving you a plan. I'm giving you everything that's necessary. So you do those things and I'll be with you. But it's not on your own volition. It's mine. So you rest in that. And when you do that, I'm with you. Paul, if the Amalekites come, I'll stomp them for you. If I take you into Canaan, no man will be able to stand against you. You will make other nations come to you. You will lend to them as a nation, and you won't have to borrow if you do it my way. But you got to rest in my Sabbath, because I want you to see that it's not all your efforts is doing it. You rest. You're entering into a rest, whereas I'm here. You didn't make me come. I initiated this. I did this. And I said, but this is the work you got to do to keep me in your presence. Now you're going to rest in my Sabbath day and my Sabbath feast so that you can understand it's not about you doing anything anyway. I'm giving you more holidays than people will ever have in the world. I think the Jews had 85 holidays that they had every Sabbath. So you say, well, we get 52. You're talking about Saturdays. Everybody don't get Saturday. They had Feast of Weeks. They had Feast of Trumpets. They had Feast of this. They had Feast of that. They had New Moon. They had a lot of days that they didn't work. And I'm submitting to you that when God said, keep my Sabbath, keep the order that I give, keep my rest. And the way to keep my rest is to keep my order. Would to God that we as families would keep God's rest. When things get out of order and families fight and they war against each other, we drove up and we heard somebody, I don't know where they were, but there were words that were coming out that was so unsavory and unflattering. And I'm sure they weren't singing a rap song either. It was directed towards somebody. That's not what we should have. Please read, finish the chapter.
You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a covenant forever.
I want you just to see that God was instituting the way for the family to be able to please him. He was giving them everything that they needed to do to know how to love, how to live, how to lead, how to be a light to the world, how to be loyal to one another. But it starts with him. It starts with him. God chose certain people, just like you see in 1 Corinthians 12. God set certain people with certain gifts to edify the family. In each family, everybody's different. I used to hear Mama say sometimes that each one of my children are different. It's almost as if it was startling, you know, that all of the children are different. But, you know, you think as a child, you could think as a child, well, she knows she's different than her brother and her sister. But I guess it really dawns they both eat, they all eat the same food at the table. They all get the same instruction, but they all are different. Each of us have gifts, talents, and ability. When we come to God, God has a particular work for each of us to do. And some of us may have to be heated up, like the gold in fashion. Some of us may have to be cut some, like the stones and the diamonds. But it's going to take God's word. And each of us have the part to play in helping each perfect each other. Not to beat each other up, but to help us all work as a finely tuned family so that we can be a blessing to the world. When it operates like it should, it won't matter what your size is. It'll be like the old folk used to say when I grew up, son, it doesn't matter about the size of the dog. It's about the size of the fight that's in the dog. You'll see a little dog sometime take a big one. It's amazing to see. But that little dog, especially if one of those dogs got that big old head, they can do something. I heard bulldogs used to take down bulls. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because I heard that's how they got the name. But I do know that it's hard for certain animals to move fast. And when an animal can move around and keep, and a bulldog lock and don't let go, we ought to be like that for the Lord Jesus. Read that last verse. Have you got to the last verse yet? Okay, go ahead and take it to the end.
It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Well, you all know that I would beat that horse on evolution with that, because God had used that to show that this is how he did it. But I beat that horse before, and it's on the podcast. So I just say that God said he did it in 6 days. Rest fully assured, if Jesus can make wine in a few minutes, and if you have any idea how long it takes wine from the time you plow the ground, plant the seed grow, get the grape, ferment the grape, he's pretty much showing you how fast he can do something at his will. We're talking about that's just what Jesus did. Okay, go ahead and read.
And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God.
You know, the Bible talked about that finger of God when the Egyptians saw that they couldn't do what Moses did. And they said, this is the finger of God. Well, in the book of Matthew, because that finger of God, I wanted us to see that. Well, in Matthew 12 and 28, this is a parallel passage to the one that's in Luke. Jesus told the people, listen to what it says in Matthew 12 and 28. They were accusing Jesus of doing something wrong. And Jesus said to them, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In Luke 11:20, the exact parallel passage, Jesus says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. It's saying that when the power or the finger of God is representing the power of God, God wrote those tablets with his finger, quote unquote. This is a big word. Can we do big words today? Anthropomorphic. I learned these terms. I don't make them up. It just means man. Have you ever heard of anthropology? They call man anthropos. So, but when they use a term that deals with man when it comes to God, they are using this as an illustrative view so you can see it. The power of God is not a big finger writing, okay? Don't imagine God writing with his fingers or finger rolls like in basketball. This is the power of God. And if by the power, the finger of God is saying it was written that way. But if you notice, the whole chapter was showing that everything in here that's done to make the family ready for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the work of keeping your family together, to make your family productive, is the finger of God. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that He gave Bezaleel, Aholiab, and all those wise men to fashion everything that would be fashioned in the like of the finger or the power of God. Whether it was the laver, whether it was the ark, whether it was the curtains, whether it was the clothing, whatever it was fashioned by the power of God. But He used men. But when it came down to the law and the covenant, He did that. And you know, we've been taught that on one side of the tablet, there was the four testimonies of God. First four commandments dealing with God, and on the other table it was the last six. But you know, there's an alternative view that I'm thinking that may be true, that both of them had all ten written on them. Because in the ancient documents in the East, when they made a contract or a covenant, they would make two copies, one for you and one for me. And that would be in the same line of what they were done. God's copy and your copy kept right here in the midst. So that when you violate, you violated yours as well as mine. And here's witness. That's why in the seat of judgment, right over there where they put the blood, you broke it, judgment, and they would allow sacrificial animals. At the same time judgment is done on that animal, you were forgiven. I submit to you that if we could look and strive to have the Spirit of God in our families, and let God lead, start with us men. Are we men? And the women, if you know your husbands are following God, work with him. If he's not, then you pray and ask God to help him. Unless we're weak, we're not going to let you bully us anyway. And if you're strong enough to bully us, he's not going to bully you anyway. So then let's let God lead. And those of us who have missed some years with our children, let's ask God to help us regroup. Maybe we can help with our grandchildren. Maybe we can help with somebody else's children. Maybe we can help here in the assembly. God wants a family that's ready. I submit to you all, as long as you all are here, you all are all my family. We all may have some ups and downs, but if we all point to God and His Spirit, rest assured, if some of us need something cut off, something hammered into shape, something just anointed with oil. That's what they would do. They would use the oil to anoint. See, oil makes something shine. If I put oil on my face, it'll shine like light. It will shine. But somebody had to squeeze the olives to get it. Let's let the Spirit of God be what leads us and controls our family so that we can be what He would have us to be. And it won't be about a religious experience. It'll be about a lifestyle that's pleasing to God. And we'll see every one of us in God's eternal kingdom, living and ruling with Him forever. Where Dave won't have the glasses anymore, and I won't have the hearing problem anymore. This will be pretty. Woo! No more excess. The gray no longer there. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? From what I understand, God is going to restore us to optimum. You see, some of the things with our aging has to do with disease. He's going to wipe away all disease. Aging is a part of the disease process. I believe with all sincerity, this is not Bible. Part of it is, Adam was not created a child. Adam was created at the ability to already have enough to reproduce. Therefore, the optimal man, I would think, based on what I see in Scripture, they would let him go and serve in the priesthood, had to be at least 30. And when you're going to live a long time, 30 is not that old. So I'm saying when God restores us, no more dentures, no more prosthetics. Oh, it's going to be good. And I want to be there. I got to have it. I got to have it. I'm dismissing us now. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Help us to realize that in order for us to be who you would have us to be, we need to look around and see who you have chosen to help us to understand your word. We need to make sure that we're trying to understand your word so that your Spirit will dwell with each of us so that we can help each of us be able to live a life to please you. and to be a benefit to the world. Father, if you do this, we'll have better families, better communities by us working one-on-one, and we'll please you. And when we look forward to eternity, we'll already have the mindset of being productive and being profitable to your kingdom. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen.